Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
There's something else this writer wrote. This is the part that really drives me nuts. In the 1999 effort to drive, the thinking in the current campaign by advocates of ground force is that the only way to prove the usefulness of infantry troops is to overcome the fear of taking casualties. And that's probably true. But then the writer goes on to say, and the reason why they need to do that is if they don't do that, they won't get funding. They won't get funding. So this LA Times writer is basically saying the reason why we've committed ground forces in Afghanistan is so that we'll continue to get funding for ground operations. So we'll go ahead and kill men so we can keep getting money funneled into the Army for ground operations. Now, okay, that's a real neat line of thinking, and I'll bet you'll get promoted really fast at the paper for that. But you know, at 11,000 feet, where attack helicopters cannot effectively operate for any length of time, putting a ground force in also makes a hell of a lot of sense. Now, you can write all you want about how it's about getting funding, but the fact is that this is the way to fight this war in that terrain, at that elevation, at this particular time. You can't just keep sending the F-14s to drop bombs, napalm, or whatever other fun goodies they got in store for those guys. Sometimes you got to put our guys on the ground. And is there a problem here, ladies and gentlemen? Do we not trust our ground forces? Do we not trust our special forces? Are they not good enough? Are they not men enough? Are they not soldier enough? Are they not well-trained? Are we that completely absorbed into this desensitized or overly sensitized age now? Is everything so pain-free and risk-free that we take one more casualty and we just got to rethink our entire position here on the planet Earth? We take one more casualty, we ought to just rethink this whole idea of having a country. What do you think? We got 9 guys killed, man. We get one more kill. I think we ought to just, this whole idea of America, we ought to rethink it. I'm going back to Ireland. I don't know about the rest of you guys. Give me a break. And on top of that, the writer is a woman. What do they know about combat? I'm kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jason, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
So, listen, I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts, and I got to apologize for that last lady.
No, that's okay. Not a problem.
It's, you know what it is? It's typical of this city. It's a low-class city with unintelligent people who, and once again, you're not just hipper than a room. You're hipper than an entire city.
Well, wait a minute. You are calling from Springfield. I had her call. Now I have yours. So I think that if we can say calls are representative, at least 50% gets the show and the other 50 doesn't. How about that?
Yeah. Let's look at that. You're doing a phenomenal job and keep up the good work.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Well, the lady called, if you don't know, the lady called and she said, Miss Hendry, your character voices all sound the same. I understand that. I know that. It doesn't come as a shock to me because I don't do impressions and I don't really do cartoon voices. I do characters. By the way, that was Suzanne Plachette. When the lady that called that last hour, it sounded like Suzanne Plachette, didn't it? Oh, Bob. No, I do characters. I try to create real characters. There's a difference, believe me. I know it's very difficult to explain to some people, but actually I think most people get it. The guys that call in and complain about how your voices all sound the same, don't listen, I guess. It's the only thing I'd say. Do you not like that or you do like it? I don't understand. I mean, are you still listening? You're not? You don't listen is the best suggestion that I can give you. But we're really just doing characters. We're not doing cartoon voices. I'm not Mel Blanc, who was the all-time genius. I'm not, Don Messick. Who's the lady that did Rocky? Lorraine? I don't know. You know, there's some of the great voices. I just do characters. I try to create real people that people recognize. And the bit we did last hour with Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, this arrogant guy who thinks that he can sexually harass an employee even if she's a lesbian. You telling me that isn't out of the headlines of the day? You telling me that that doesn't take place in workplaces across America? Well, so that's what we do. We take that, we satirize that. And the only difference is on our show, unlike any other show in the history of radio, we have real callers calling in. And thinking that those characters that I'm performing are real people. I have a sneaking hunch, and I've said this many times on my show down through the years, I got a sneaking hunch that lady that called last hour was some schmuck that had called the show, say, a couple of months ago and believed she was talking to a real person. Now, a lot of people think that my character voices all sound the same because of the wild turkey that they're drinking. They sit and listen to my show after about, oh, I don't know, a fifth or two of wild turkey, and suddenly it all just blurs together. And that happens, too. We have probably the highest number of alcoholics per capita listening to this show than any other show. Also, drug addicts, acid heads, psychotropic freaks, people that are into Special K, and rockheads. They're all... Oh, Craig raised his hand on the Special K line. But I got a stinking hunch that she was probably someone that had called, and she was talking to one of my fake characters, and she thought it was real, and she felt like a schmuck, and so she's calling back, and she's angry at me.
What?
Please. She's mad at me. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show here. I said not six, I said sick. 1-800-449-8686. How not to get her into bed. Things you shouldn't say or do on a first date. This was written by Lucinda Rosenfeld for Men's Health Magazine. Let's see how many of these she gets right. Number one, don't tell her how much money you make. Sell your personality, not your susceptibility to extortionist divorce settlements. Now, I think I have found in my life telling her how much money I make impresses her. Because she's already thinking, he looks like he's marriage material. He's balding, wears his pants too high, wears those 1972-style cowboy boots. I can see his penis through his jeans, so they're obviously way too tight for the 1990s. And, of course, that collarless shirt that he wears with the tab button, that went out in, like, 1977. Yeah, I think I'd like to marry him. I wonder how much money he makes. All right, number two, don't get drunk. You look stupid and you say stupid things. That may be true unless she's drunk as well. Now, I've found that if you meet a woman who likes to drink and you like to drink, drink. She'll think you're a blast, and the odds of you getting her into bed, excuse me for being graphic and perhaps a bit untoward, but the fact is the odds of you, all right, saying that you are interlocked romantically or intimately are way, way higher than if she doesn't. Number three, do not attempt to rub knees unless you're getting serious signals. These do not include yawning, blinking, or wearing a skimpy top. I don't get that. Number four, don't say her chi is stalled. New age men, oh, get out of here. I don't know a guy that says that. Number five, is this trying to be funny? Number five, do not use the word proactive unless she specifically told you of her mad attraction to motivational speakers. Number six, do not refer to your issue unless she specifically... Oh, this is trying to be doing shtick. I thought this was a real list. It ain't a real list. She's just trying to be funny. It's a list of trying to be funny reasons why you shouldn't think that a woman's a slut. Number 12, even if you're only curious, do not, under any circumstances, ask her if her breasts are real. Why not? Especially if you're angry at her for her arrogant, self-absorbed, and purposefully boring personality. And let's say it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. The conversation has been going along very poorly. You've spent more money than you wanted to, and she still isn't giving you any kind of company or good time. I think that's the best time, guys, to ask her if her breasts are real. I think that's the time when you start to get insulting. And then she'll say, take me home. And you're out of the date. You're home free. You might even try poking at them first using your salad fork. Number 13, if it was your idea to go out, it's your responsibility to pick up the check. If it was hers, split. Oh, I see. So this writer was doing all kinds of stickeroo, but when we get down to the money portion, she's back to getting serious. Oh, okay. So that was some pretty funny stuff there about that motivational speaker there, Lucinda. But now we're getting down to the check, and you want to make sure that everybody knows what's up, huh? If it was your idea to go out, it's your responsibility to pick up the check. If it was hers, split it. Says who? Says Lucinda Rosenfeld, part-time comic. Number 14, don't wear dirty socks or underwear. You never know. Yeah, you just never know. You might get lucky. You just never know. You know what? I found that before I go out with a woman, and I'm going to be honest with you, then this is back in my single days. Men will know what I'm talking about. Most women will think that I'm kidding, but every man will know exactly what I'm talking about. Before I ever went out with a woman, I knew whether I was going to be going to bed with her or not. I knew right away. I just knew the women that were anxious to go out with me, anxious to become involved with me on that level. I just knew it. You knew. So then you could be a complete and utter schmuck through the whole date, just like, I don't know. Are you okay? You know. Oh, come on. And then she wants to, like, you know, already she's, like, codependent. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Any man knows what I'm talking about. Women think this is a big news flash. You don't... You're going to tell me you're going to waste... What are you figuring? In L.A., if you live anywhere, you've got the gas. It's expensive. The beer... You can go to a great joint like, well, let's take Springfield, Mass, for instance. A bottle of beer down there is probably $3. L.A., you can't get into a bottle of beer around here. And that's, of course, unless she wants that white wine thing. Now you're talking real money, probably $10-$15 a bottle. Best way to get out of a date going bad, in the middle of the conversation, just cut the loudest, cheesiest, most sulfuric fart you can summon. That'll pretty much kill that evening. Unless, of course, she goes, she finds it funny. I have brothers. In which case, you can ask her, you got any going? Yeah, okay. And the whole thing becomes very juvenile. And next thing you know, you're in love. I have a friend very seriously. Well, I shouldn't say he's a friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in 30 years. But I have a friend. He's married and has been married many years. On his first date with his wife, they both farted. Not on purpose, mistakenly, at the very end of the date as he was walking her to her door. And I think he said something to me like, you know, by that point, I just looked at her and I said, well, it's been that kind of a night, you know, what the hell. And that from that moment on, they were inseparable. From that moment on, they were inseparable. That fused them like molten, white, hot streams of sunlight. I knew that I loved Mary. I knew from the moment that my eyes met hers. And then the evening ended. It ended in ways that I had never hoped. I walked her to the door. I kissed her lips gently. And then cut a big fart. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Bud Dickman is with us. I know that you are very curious, Bud, about the deal that I've signed with NBC to develop a TV show.
Yeah, I took acting class.
I know you're taking acting classes. What I don't understand is how it is, and you claim it's true, you got into a Clint Eastwood movie.
Because he had come to acting class, and he saw my acting, he thought it was, you know, that was interesting. He had a part in mind for me.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Is that so unusual?
Came to your acting class, saw you, thought you were interesting, and had a part in mind for you.
He wrote a character for me.
Oh, he wrote a character for you.
What, are you jealous or something?
No, I'm not jealous.
Well, you're reacting very extreme.
All right, do you have this movie clip?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Now, obviously, you folks at home can't see it, but you can hear the audio. I guess that's enough. And this is you in a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, this is a part where Clint Eastwood plays a cop, and I'm a motorcycle gang member, and he tells us that he's busting all of us.
All of you meaning what?
There's a whole gang of us.
All right, so this is Clint Eastwood being a cop, busting all you guys.
That's right.
All right, roll it.
All right, you mother jumpers, this is a bust.
What's going on? Jeez, what's going on? I don't understand here. Yeah, what's it mean?
All right, everybody up against their bike. Right. Balls in your pocket.
What are you talking about?
Come on.
I'm going to hit him with this chain. Here, watch this. I'm going to hit him. Oh, he kicked me in the gut. Wait a minute. Don't shoot me, man. Don't shoot me with that gun, man. Please, man, don't do it. Don't. He shot my motorcycle. That bastard. How did you do that? I hate you.
The next turkey who tries that, I'm going to shoot him, stuff him, and stick an apple in his ass.
Really?
Any takers?
I will. It's, what kind of apple?
You?
Yeah.
You?
You need to get a warrant to come in here, mister. A search warrant. That's what you need.
Man says I need a warrant, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Well, a man don't know jack.
Well, what are you talking about?
Now, anybody here know more about the law here than me?
Maybe
any lawyers here?
Yeah.
Any lawyers want to tell me why I don't need a warrant?
You need a warrant. Drew, you need a warrant.
You with the f***ing hair.
Yeah?
You look smart.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell me why I'm entitled to come in here anytime I please?
Because of reasonable suspicion.
Exactly, reasonable suspicion.
Well, okay. I knew I
had.
I
can go anywhere I please if I have reasonable suspicion. Now, if I have suspicion a felony's been committed, I can just walk right in here anytime I feel like it.
Oh.
Because I got this badge, I got this gun, and I got the love of Jesus right here in my pretty green eyes.
Must be high on something.
Yeah, some kind of crack cocaine or something. I don't know, what's wrong with you guys?
Maybe even one of you girls, huh?
Like what? What are you talking about?
I don't know what. And personally, I don't give a shit. The main thing is, I'm going to have to bust y'all.
What?
Of course, we do have a choice.
Wait a second.
We have a choice.
Hey.
If you get your ass on those bikes and get out of here in the next 30 seconds, then I'll let you off with just a warning. However, if you give me any
Wait a second.
In the next half hour, there's going to be more cops, more guns, more handcuffs, more marijuana-sniffing dogs than you've ever seen in your wildest hallucinations. You hear me?
Well, that's not fair.
30 seconds.
Come on, will you?
Hey, haul ass!
All right, okay, 30 seconds, I understand. Come on, where's the bike? Get up. Where, anybody see the keys to my bike? Where are the keys to my bike?
So that's the movie you were in.
Yeah, what'd you think?
What I think is you took the voice track to the movie Gauntlet, which came out in 1977, dropped out the parts and put yours in.
What? Why, yes, sir. Get out of here. You weren't in any Clint Eastwood movie. What did you say that was?
That's the Gauntlet. I know that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. That whole thing about the love of Jesus and his pretty green eyes. I quote that all the time.
Yes, man, because Clint Eastwood wrote a part for me.
Oh, wrote a part. Was that the part he wrote for you, by the way? What kind of apple?
Yeah, there was a line he put in it.
He's going to stuff an apple in their ass, and you ask what kind of apple.
How do you like that reasonable suspicion thing?
Yeah, it's great. I got the love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes.
Listen to this.
All right, you mother jumpers.
Oh, turn it off.
Hey, you'll be sorry when you see me in a Clint Eastwood movie.
Let me tell you something. I'll be sorry when I see another Clint Eastwood movie, period, because I think he's about done, okay?
I'm going to tell him you said so.
Yeah, you do that, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Our 30-day archive on our website. What the hell was that? Our 30-day archive on our website, along with our Listen Live audio archives webcast, you got to be a Backstage Pass member to the Phil Henry website. That's right. The Phil Henry website provides all of the first-rate audio from our show, bits from the past hour, this bit that, you know, remember, what did we just do? I can't remember. It was Ted Bell. You'll be hearing some Ted Bell material from there, the Jay Sano stuff from the other day. We're constantly loading in long-form and short-form bits on our website, and all of that stuff is available to you for the low, 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 low price, $6.95 a month, man. So you give up a one pack of smokes and a Mickey's Wide Mouth, and you have made it. You are a member of the Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass. So check it out, philhenryshow.com.
Well, yeah, I got training at Susan Olsen's acting class.
Oh, okay. Okay, Cindy.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
A couple of tips for you guys that come to mind. I just want to give you the perception and the experience that I have when I'm moving around during the day. And I know many of you encounter the same thing. You'll be walking into a store and there will be someone there in a wheelchair with a cup. And they will look at you and your eyes will avert theirs and you'll go into the store and maybe you'll hunch your shoulder so they don't see your eyes. And maybe you'll throw a quarter in as you walk out. And my technique is a little bit different. I thought maybe I'd pass it along. Maybe we could just share some thoughts on this. What I do is when I see someone in a wheelchair with a cup, I look directly at them and I say, hi. And when they say, you help me out? No. No, I won't. And I just keep going in. And today, for instance, I was in Beverly Hills and I heard a guy who was in a wheelchair with a cup. He goes, brother, you help me out? I said, no, I can't help you out, man. Now, keep in mind, at the time, I had probably about $100 in my pocket and enough money in my bank account whereby I could have, quote, helped him out, end quote. But I didn't, and he said to me, well, don't go away mad, brother. And I turned around and said, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I'm not going to give you any money, that's all. So I just kept walking. Now, the reason why I do that is there's a real reason for this, and the reason is this. I don't allow myself to be manipulated by certain situations because I need to maintain my humanity. And part of that is being clear enough to know when you're obviously having your chain just yanked in a serious, strenuous manner. Example number two. I'm talking on my cell phone on Bedford Drive in Beverly Hills, California today. Now, there aren't too many more cliche-like images than that, huh? Phil Hendry on his cell phone in Beverly Hills. It's enough to make you want to vomit liver bile right up there into the gutter if the Beverly Hills cops wouldn't give you a ticket for it. I mean, there I am with a cell phone, and a lady was in obvious distress next to me. She says, sir, do you... And I put my cell phone away because I've been talking to somebody. Sir, do you have a cell phone? I said, yes, I... And I knew what she was asking, so I wanted to make it very clear that, yes, I did have a cell phone. Yes, I do. Oh, could I borrow it to call a local number? No. Well, it's just a local number, so I can hit 911, and then I... No, you may not. No, What if I paid you? And I remember her looking at me and going, I'll pay you. No, you know, I don't want your money. No, you may not use my phone. Is it cruel of me? Is it sadistic of me? Is it? No, it's a perfectly fun exercise that I think you should all engage in. And that is reclaiming your own humanity, reclaiming your own sense of self and purpose, and not being manipulated by every tiny little situation. The best time to do this is at Christmas. You know the guys that are dressed like Santa Claus and they're ringing the bell? Ding, 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 ding. Walk right by. Go, Merry Christmas. Hi. Yes, sir. How are you? And never put any money in. Then go into the market, load up with large frozen gooses and turkeys, big cranberry packets. Just laden the cart heavy so that it takes two to push it. And as you're going out and he's ringing the bell, yeah, and now he thinks you're a real ass because you didn't put any money in the first time. Merry Christmas. And just keep, but make eye contact. And make sure he sees your shopping cart laden down with roasts, hams, big bags of fruit. Why? Because it's fun. In fact, what the good thing, and I did this last Christmas, the Santa Claus was there ringing the bell, and I said, Merry Christmas, how you doing? And I didn't put any money in. And then as it's coming out, he's ringing the bell, and now he's expecting, well, come on, now you got to give me some money. You got like at least $400 worth of groceries. And I said, hey, you with the beard, help me push this. Come on. Well, sir, what are you talking? Oh, knock off the phony Santa suit. Let's go. Well, I'm a Santa Claus. Yeah, uh-huh. Let's go. Help me push it. So I had him push, you know, help me push the cart, and he did, thinking he was going to get some bread, and we got all the way over to, and he's helping me load it into the trunk, you know, and I said, thanks a lot. Shut the trunk and got in the car. He didn't give the cat a dime. It's cool. It's just, forget about all that floral stuff I was talking about, your humanity. It's just fun. I give money to charities. I give money to a variety of different charities. We support My Friend's Place, as you know, with the sale of our CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, available on our website or by calling 877-616-7445. So I do my part in the way that I want to do my part. But I kind of enjoy out there in the everyday the people that really want to put it on for you, like they're a real pity case. Like when I go get lunch, I like to go down here to the Whole Foods, which is down from the studio, and it's a kind of an organic market, not because I'm totally into organic, but it's just the closest market. And they have a salad bar. I like to make myself a salad and get a little something else, you know. There's a dude standing there with a bucket and a white shirt, and it's like some charity. Every day, it's like exercise for me. I stare right at him, and I say, "How are you?" "Fine." And now it started out going, "I'm fine, sir. How are you?" "Oh, great." And I walk in. And then I come out and go, "Okay, goodbye, goodbye." Now, that was day one. By day five, it was, "How are you?" "Fine." "Goodbye." "Yeah, sure." You know? Because it don't pay to be nice to me because I'm going to give them any money. Now, it's a lot of fun. Here's another place where they really got it going on. It's a racket, and the cops have got to move them along a little bit. Anybody ever been to Paris? You been to Paris? If you go to Paris, you go to the Notre Dame Cathedral. This is a big Catholic cathedral in the middle of Paris, and it's a tourist attraction. Man, do the cripples line up around that thing. Well, I shouldn't say. I don't know if they're real cripples or not. At that place, it's a gas because they hold a cup out with their little quivering hands, and I reach in and take some. Just, "Thank you." And then they go, no, monsieur. You don't want you. Don't want you to be there. You don't want you to be the a-hole. Oh, man. See, the Notre Dame is where everybody, it's a mecca. It's a mecca, right? So you got people coming there from all over the world. See these Catholic Haitian women that are kneeling on the tile. I mean, they go in and they kneel right on the tile in front of the Virgin Mary, and they're lighting candles. There's Catholics from India and America and all parts of Europe and Asia, you know, Chinese Catholics. And they're in there because this is an international mecca. And all of the crips that live in, when I say crippled, by the way, most of them are fake. You know, they got the fake arm, like they take their arm and they stick it in their pants and the arm sleeve just flaps around like they have no arm. Well, they hang out around that Notre Dame because they figure a guy got on an airplane. He flew 11 hours. He spent I don't know how many thousands of dollars. He's finally made it there from way, way far away. And now there is the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. How's he going to say no to some poor guy on a crutch holding a cup with, you know, wanting your money? Well, he never met Phil Hendry. That's the most fun I ever had, was at that Notre Dame Cathedral. Monsieur, je te vont te... No. What's no in French? I think snow in French. That was great. Considering the fact that, A, I don't like Paris to begin with. You know, I don't have a real love affair with the French. And so what better way to show it than to insult their beggars? And so when I went there, and the... Monsieur, no, bug off. Bug off! Look, they hate our guts anyway. You might as well be an ugly American. There's no better place to be an ugly American than France because they already hate our living guts. So I'm walking in line, my wife and I, because she wants to go to 11 o'clock mass there at the Notre Dame Cathedral on Sunday because this is a big thing for my wife. She's a very devout Catholic. And like, monsieur, get out of here. Did you hear me the first time? Get out of here. Monsieur, don't you want to... And then you kick him. That's always nice. You kick them repeatedly in the kidney area. You beat them down to the ground and then just boom, boom, boom. Big, heavy, steel-toed, you know, petroleum-based boots. Monsieur, je ne peux pas, shut up. Boom. You know how many guys are laying on the beach at Normandy for your crippled butt? Huh? Boom! Shut up! All of a sudden, those arms come popping out that they tried to make you think they didn't have. They come out real fast. Monsieur, you're begging. Excuse me, monsieur? You're begging? How'd you like something real to beg for? Like your life.
Boom! Boom! Boom!
was doing it. Boom, come on. Beg for your life. Beg.
I got a quarter.
Boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. All the stereotypes. Just lay it on them. Just give it to them because that's what they expect anyway. What is this stuff about going around the world and trying to put a good face? Now, there's some people that I think have a kind of naivete and they want to love us, you know? I mean, there's some people like right, what's going on in Afghanistan right now. I bet you the people in Afghanistan would just love to like Americans because, you know, look at what we're actually doing something for them like we didn't do 20 years ago. There's certain countries that dig that, you know, where we're coming from. But if they already are predisposed to dislike us, give them a real good reason. Don't go over there and going,
excuse me, Champs-Élysées. I'm sorry.
I don't speak no frog. That's why I loved it, man, when I went to that Picasso museum and I laid into that woman with that whole baloney rap she was laying on me about all those Picasso paintings. I basically said to her, so when did France steal Pablo Picasso's paintings? Can you tell me the date?
Monsieur, what do you mean?
Well, you don't really honestly believe that Mr. Picasso, one of the greatest painters the world has ever known, would actually want to deposit his brilliant masterpieces in this sewer of a country, do you?
Monsieur, the country of France, we take good care.
And by the way, excuse me, pardon me for interrupting. Who voted you guys the curators and the keepers of the world's art? Why don't we just ship it to America, okay? It's safer over there. You guys have people machine-gunning people in airports over here. Hello. We're going to take all the art out of the Louvre, or whatever you call it, and we're sticking it over the New York Museum of Art, where it will be safe. Well, I don't think anybody's going to take a plane into that one. I just really don't. Safer than it is here.
I mean, shit, we did not confiscate. It was donated.
Oh, donated. Yeah, donated. Yeah, like I donate like 50% of my salary every year to the government. That kind of donate? Yeah, I understand what you say.
Monsieur, you are such a big man. I hate your guts.
Okay, baby, get the clothes off. What are you doing, monsieur? Get your clothes off. That's sick. I never did that. My wife was there. All right. Craig's over here. That would have been cool. Some brutal Mussolini attack. 1-800-449-8686, although I have no idea what you would want to call about. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, by the way, speaking of France, we got all our guys over in Afghanistan. Have you guys kicked in any troops yet? They should get everybody together over there in Afghanistan. Okay, what do we have? Canadians here. Okay, who else is over? Britain here. Okay, America here. Yeah, okay. All right, where are the frogs? Come on, where are they? Didn't show up, huh? Somebody go get them. Let me see. You're getting over here. Get over here. You're kicking in. Don't give me that whole baloney about how you guys are the peacemakers and you're going to, you know, provide the atmosphere and the meeting place for where we can settle the world's problem. We just want to see if you guys know which end out of a gun a freaking bullet fires. How about that? All right, let me get off of France because, see, every time it happens, it doesn't matter what the subject, I go back to France, don't I? Begging, France. NBA championships, France. Male pattern baldness, France. It does, you know, we're lesbians, France. There we are. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Keith, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Quick, I want to touch on two things. A while ago, you had mentioned, I assume the article that you were talking about in the LA Times, was that in today's edition?
Yes, it was.
I haven't been home yet, but I'll get online and check that. That
Why?
Reminds me, well, that reminds me, you know, from watching the History Channel and some schooling that I've had, but it reminds me greatly of instead of having a story, it's called making copy. you get a topic and you twist it, put a slant on it, and it's real reminiscent of the Korean War, you know, where the troops genuinely were unprepared and untrained, and they're eating 10-year-old and 12-year-old K rations. It kind of sounds like that reporter. Or
oh,
author.
It's the same old talk about wait a minute, some guys may die. Yeah, some guys may die. I don't want them to. You don't want them to. We don't want them to. It's a bad, horrible thing. But guys die. We lost 2,000 guys taking Iwo Jima in World War II. War is a horrible result of the civilization breaking down. That's basically war. Or you can say that war is the last ditch effort at keeping civilization propped up. Because everything else has failed. It's the last-ditch effort that honest people have to keep civilization propped up and keep the sewer out of our living room. And that's what we're doing in Afghanistan. You know, and that's all there is to it, man. I'm as liberal and as my feet are as moistened from the heady waters of the Vietnam era as anybody's. I'm a old-school liberal. I also happen to love my country, and there is nothing in the book that says liberals don't want to go out and kick some ass every now and again when it's worth it. And if this ain't worth it, then nothing is. These guys are up there at 11,000 feet tonight doing the most righteous thing our military has done in years. I mean, there is nothing more righteous than what those guys are engaged in right now. But, like the man said, they got to make some copies, so let's start writing about how, well, you know, these guys, you know, this is the war we didn't want to get into. And what was the wonderful line there? This is how the Soviets lost. Oh, I see. So wait a minute. The Soviets lost by actually having soldiers shoot their guns at other soldiers. That's how they lost? What do you think? This is a video game? Let's just send in enough planes and enough jets and enough attack helicopters, and we'll just bomb the crap out of them? Let's not put any guys in on the ground because, oh, that means we're going to, some of them may die. I wish to God not a one of them would die. But the fact is, when you put soldiers on the ground and they're in close proximity to others that wish their death, sometimes that eventuality takes place. But the overriding mission there is to get these scumbags who are up there in their little holes in the mountains up there out of there. You got to smoke them out like the rats that they are. But you see, the Russians lost this way. No, they didn't. Why don't you study that Russian war a little bit? Why don't you study the Russian involvement and engagement in Afghanistan before you start writing stupid things like that? No, they didn't at all. First of all, the supply lines were stretched out. They were trying to resupply over roads that were not secure. I mean, they had absolutely no real air supremacy. They completely were incapable of fighting any kind of a guerrilla war. They had 50,000 troops on the ground as opposed to, like, maybe, whatever, we got 5,000. It's got nothing to do with the way the Russians fought the war. This is where they lost the war, up in those high elevations. And with all due respect to our new allies, the Russians, our soldiers kick a little more ass, if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's because they're better trained. Maybe it's because they're better equipped. Maybe it's because they got more to fight for. Ever thought about that one? We'll be back with more just gems, just magnificent gems flowing from my mouth, not in a moment. Don't forget my website, philhenryshow.com. I won't bother to describe it. You've got to visit it to believe it. You won't even, like it. I don't want to scare you. philhenryshow.com. This is the philhenryshow.com.